So the title of my sermon this morning is Taste and See, Experiencing God's Goodness. How many of us love the taste of a good meal? Oh, at least a couple of you. Okay, that's good. Now, whether it's a warm home-cooked meal or a delicious dessert, tasting something good will often fill our hearts with joy, won't it? I mean, you take the first bite out of that extra large gatto that you don't just have the cream that's on it, but you pour cream on as well and maybe put some ice cream on the side. And actually you think to yourself, well, it needs more than that. So you get out some chocolate sauce and pour that across the top as well. And nuts and donuts and, yeah, you put everything on. Oreo cookies, flakes, yeah. And the first spoonful is wonderful. But if you eat too much of it, it might make you feel sick. Too much of God will never make you feel sick. Too much of God is never enough. I watched one of my grandchildren eat their way through an entire 1 litre tub of ice cream. And that's actually even more than I can eat in one sitting. And I can pack in quite a lot of ice cream. And at the end of it, I'm thinking, oh, they're going to be stuffed. They're going to be full. But no, my grandchild asked for more. We should be asking for more of God in our lives. When we think that we're full, we actually need to be overflowing with the presence of God in our lives. And it's far better than any meal that we could eat. God invites us to taste and see his goodness, to taste and see his mercy, to taste and see his love. In Psalm 34:8, it's David who extends an invitation, not just to observe, but to experience the goodness of our Lord in all of its fullness. Our God is good. And when we discover for ourselves that God's goodness is not something that's distant or abstract, it's something real, it's something personal, and it's something that we can experience in every day of our lives. In the simple, in the mundane, in the incredible, we can experience the goodness of God. And that's a wonderful place for us to be. So the first point is taste and see, experiencing God's goodness firsthand. All of us want to experience God's goodness for ourselves, don't we? I mean, we may hear about what God is doing in someone else's life, another country, another church. But we, ourselves, we want to see it firsthand, don't we? There's a number of people who are praying for revival. There are a number of people praying that God will move. There are people praying that the Holy Spirit will revitalize, re-energize each and every one of us. But we need to begin with us. We need to begin with this verse because we need to taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Revival begins with us. Revitalization begins with us. Consecration begins with us. And when we align ourselves to God, when we taste of all of his goodness, things will happen. Things will change. And we will see the power of God at work. I want you to notice something about this verse. David uses two sensory words here. Taste and see. These are personal experiences. I could give Pete something to eat, and he could eat it and taste it and see what it is and attempt to explain what it is that he's tasted and seen to everyone else. But we're not necessarily going to know how beautiful or how ugly the thing was that he ate. We're not going to know what he thought it tasted like unless we taste it ourselves. I was in Southend the other day for a blood test, and there's a number of greengrocers along the high street. And in one of them, there's fruits that I don't even know what they're called. There's the things that I have never seen, and let's face it, I've been around for a long time now, but I couldn't tell you what those fruits were. And I would love to be able to taste and discover what they are for myself. And there are things about the Christian life which we can observe other people doing, experiencing, but there are things that we need to taste for ourselves. Things that we need to experience for ourselves. I mean, did you know that there's a cucumber that its exterior has got spikes on it? Apparently that's how cucumbers are supposed to look, but for some reason, someone somewhere decided they didn't look nice to go in a sandwich. So they decided to breed cucumbers that are smooth and easy to slice. Doesn't mean that the old cucumber doesn't taste as good as the new cucumber, but it's about the way that it's perceived. It's about the way that it looks. And quite often in the Christian life, there'll be those on the outside who are looking at us and thinking, there's something not right about those people. They're too happy, they're too cheerful, they're too joyful, they're too tied up in talking about this God. But when God is real in our lives, we must talk about him. Because God's supposed to be central to everything. We have tasted, we have seen, we have experienced the goodness of God for ourselves. And with every fibre of our being, we should be willing to share the truth of who he is with others. Let me give you a Hebrew lesson. The Hebrew word for taste is ta'am. Please repeat after me, ta'am. That's close enough. Ta'am is not just about tasting something, but there's also an element of perception. There's an element of testing. And there's an element of experience in there. Andrea, can you describe what a cucumber tastes like? Without using the word cucumber.
It freshens your mouth. It's a fresh taste.
Okay.
It's cold.
Yep.
Juicy? Yes, it's juicy.
If you'd never eaten a cucumber for yourselves, would Andrea's description fully describe it to you? You'd want to taste the cucumber for yourself, wouldn't you? God is weird to the world because the world does not understand who God is. They look at what's out there, they look into the cosmos, they look at the so-called fossil record and they say, random chance. But the Bible tells us the truth that God is. That he was, he is, and he ever will be. God is real, and we know that for ourselves. We've tasted, we've seen, we've savoured the flavour of having God in our lives. And God, he invited us to come close to him. He invited us to experience his goodness. He invited us to savour the richness of his love. And David, he wrote this psalm after being delivered from a dangerous situation. He actually had pretended to be insane before King Achish to escape with his life. David, when he writes, isn't writing of someone who knows God's goodness theoretically. David is writing as someone who has fully experienced God's goodness. In the midst of fear, in the midst of desperation, and in the midst of joy and happiness, David had experienced God for himself. Psalm 34, it's his response of gratitude. It's his response of praise. He isn't inviting us to just have a one-time taste. You can go to certain places and they give you tasters of food. Maybe something on a cocktail stick or a small portion of a larger dish. Our invitation from God isn't just to experience a fraction of something. Our invitation from God is to experience him in all of his fullness, in all of his majesty, in all of his mercy, and in all of his grace. King David is saying here, don't just know about God, experience him. Experience him for yourself. This is an invitation to intimacy with God. If we're honest, none of us walk with God as we should. None of us are as close to God as we could be. We allow things to get in the way. We allow things to block are fully experiencing the presence of God in our life. But David says, come close. Draw near yourself and experience the goodness of God. Jeremiah 29:13 says, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. God doesn't want us to be half-hearted in our relationship with him. He wants us to be fully committed, all in, sold out for God. Yet there are many who are, at best, lukewarm when it comes to knowing God for themselves. Yeah, they'll have an experience for maybe an hour on a Sunday morning. Maybe sometime during the week they might listen to a bit of worship. And if there's something going wrong in their lives, they might even pray. But God calls us to a wholehearted commitment, recognizing that he is always present in our lives and we should always seek for him to be present. I'm certain that all of us have experienced the goodness of God in our own lives. I'm certain that all of us, even today, have experienced the goodness of God. We've experienced his protection. He allowed us to come to church safely. We weren't stopped by machine gun wielding mercenaries. We weren't forced off the road by bombs or weapons or people trying to stop us from coming to worship. Yeah, they're brothers and sisters in other places. What kind of gauntlet would they have had to run today just to go and worship God corporately? We have so much that we've been given. We've got so much freedom that many of our brothers and sisters do not enjoy. And yet in the Western world, there are those that call themselves believers, but to them, God is just a distant deity. They don't see him as a loving father who cares personally for them. There are many that go through the rituals of religion and don't get anywhere near to having a relationship with our God. God needs to be at the center, and he calls us to taste and to see. He invites us to draw near to him. He invites us to trust him. He invites us to find joy in his presence. Think about a person who's never tasted honey. Just as Andrea described a cucumber earlier, you could probably describe the sweetness and texture of honey. But until a person actually tastes it, they won't truly understand what it tastes like. And I'm told that honey, that depending on the pollen that the bees have collected and where the honey is created, that it tastes different from different places. And there are very fine honeys that cost an awful lot of money. Now, maybe some of that is just marketing hype, or maybe this premium honey really is better. Maybe the taste is better. Maybe it's got better benefits for you. But you could pick up a pot of honey, you could read what it says on the label, but until you taste it for yourself, you'll never know. And until we fully taste and see the living God, we're never, ever going to fully grasp who he is. John Piper said, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. Are we truly satisfied in our God? Are we thankful for all that he's placed into our lives? Both good things and bad things are there for a reason. And we can trust our God. Because as the second point tells us, God's goodness is evident in his provision and his protection. In this same psalm, David speaks of how God provides for him and protects those who seek him. Psalm 34, 9 and 10. Fear the Lord, you his godly people, for those who fear him will have all they need. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry. But those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. Now, the fear that's mentioned here is not about quaking in a corner somewhere. This is about having a reverence a deep respect for God, for who he is. To fear the Lord means to honour him. It means to respect him. It means to submit to his authority in our lives. Now, the modern world will tell you, you are the master of your own destiny. You can do whatever you want. You can be the best you that you can be. But we as believers, we as Christians, are meant to be submissive to the will of God. He knows better than we do. And we need to trust him in everything. And when we're in relationship with him, we do trust him more. We trust him for his provision. We trust him for his presence. We trust him because he is faithful. Where David contrasts God's faithful provision here with the hunger of strong young lions. Even the powerful can lack, but those who trust in God will never, ever lack what they truly need. We may lack what we want. I mean, I would like a brand new car. I would like to be able to drive on roads that don't have potholes. And while I trust in a God of miracles, I have to be reliant upon Essex County Council to fix the potholes. But God can still keep me safe on my journey. The Hebrew word for lack here is chesir. Does anyone remember what the other Hebrew word was that I got you to speak? Thank you. Chesa. It means to be in want or in need. And David reminds us that God knows our needs and God supplies according to our needs. And his timing is perfect. Sometimes it feels like God teaches us patience in so many situations in life. I think the hardest lesson that I've learned over the years is how to be patient and wait upon the Lord. And yes, God will move in his perfect timing. The problem is when we want stuff in our timing, isn't it? We pray and we almost expect, before we say the amen, for God to have moved and done something. And yet there are those times where God says, I will, but wait. And that period of waiting is to strengthen our faith. That period of waiting is to show us that God will provide according to our needs. But he isn't a vending machine. You don't pop a prayer in and out comes a blessing. Sometimes you've got to wait. Philippians 4:19 says this, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. All of our needs. Be honest, do you always expect God to fulfill all of your needs? Or is doubt sometimes getting in the way of our faith? Quite often we can say that we trust, we pray like we're trusting, and yet the reality is we're worried. What if God doesn't come through in this situation? What if he doesn't do what I hope he will do? God says to each and every one of us, his grace is sufficient for us. He will come through, but he'll come through in his way, not necessarily our way. We need to seek him first. We need to know that he is faithful. We need to trust that he knows what we need more than we know ourselves. And yes, we might get anxious, we might wonder how we're going to get by, but God promises his care for his children. Now, that doesn't mean that life won't be without challenges. It doesn't mean that in every situation we'll know exactly what to do. But in every situation, God is with us. In every circumstance, he is there. And in many circumstances, he is the one that will carry us through. And we can trust him. My grandchildren, they don't worry about where their next meal was going to come from because they trust that their parents will feed them. They don't get stressed out if the food is 5 minutes late on the table because they know that it's coming. My oldest grandson also knows that if for some reason he's not going to get fed, he can phone me up and ask me to order him a takeaway. Not bad for a six-year-old, really, is it? But he fully expects someone to provide for him. He lives with a level of trust because he knows that there are those who care for him. And we can live with a level of trust, knowing that our God cares for us completely, totally. God provides for us out of his abundance. We will not live in lack, friends. Charles Spurgeon once said this: "The Lord's mercy is a sea which cannot be filmed. Though mountains of sin be cast into its midst, it is still unsearchable and still remains boundless." Boundless. Unending. God's love, God's mercy is far bigger than we can ever understand. Third point, God's goodness offers refuge and joy. The second part of verse 8 of Psalm 34 says, "Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him." The word refuge in Hebrew is chasah. It means a place of shelter, a place of protection. And David is one who spoke from personal experience. He'd found safety, he'd found protection in the Lord during some times of great darkness and great distress in his life. When we take refuge in God, we not only find joy, but we find safety. We experience a peace that passes all understanding when we place ourselves into God's care. Psalm 46:1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble." Always ready. There is no time where God will not be involved in our lives. He knows everything. He is everywhere. Now, taking refuge in him doesn't mean that we won't face threats. David himself was no stranger to suffering. He was no stranger to hardship. But he knew in every circumstance that God was his place of safety. Is God your place of safety? Do you take refuge in him? Do you take comfort in him? Can you experience peace and joy even in the midst of the storms of life? We can when we turn to our God in times of trouble. When we seek refuge in the Lord, instead of trying to handle things on our own, that's when we experience true peace and provision. And friends, God's inviting us to come to him today for protection, to trust him that he is our safe place, to know that we can take refuge in him and experience a joy that is far beyond our circumstances. A joy that can only come from knowing that our loving Heavenly Father cares for us. Think of a lighthouse standing firm during a violent storm. The waves may crash against the side of the lighthouse, but it remains unmoved. It continues to provide light and safety to those around it. And God is our unshakable refuge. When we take our shelter in him, we're secure. No matter how fierce the storm, we are in a place of safety. Tozer once said this: "The goodness of God is infinitely more wonderful than we will ever be able to comprehend." And that's true, isn't it? We can't fully comprehend it, but we can be thankful for it. So in conclusion, this invitation, a taste and see. The invitation is simple and yet it's profound. Taste and see that the Lord is good. God's goodness is not just something we hear about, it's something we're invited to experience. And when we taste his goodness, we experience his provision, his protection and joy. Friends, we're invited to experience God's goodness today. We're invited to taste and see. How will you respond to this invitation? Will it be by seeking him with all of your heart? Will it be by trusting him in every area of your life? Will it be by finding refuge in him? Whatever challenges we face, whether we're living in abundance or we feel like we're living in lack, God is calling us to come close to him, to draw near to him, to experience his goodness for ourselves. Perhaps you feel like you've never truly experienced the goodness of God. Maybe that's because you haven't fully surrendered your life to Jesus. When we feel that we cannot taste and see, it's because we have distanced ourselves from him. And maybe we need to repent once again and turn to our Lord in faith. In the book of Revelation, it talks about Jesus standing at the door of our heart, knocking. And we are meant to open that door and let him in. It does feel like at times that there are those who would call themselves Christians that have got a double doorway like we've got here at the front of the church. And they've let Jesus in through the first set of doors, but they won't let him in to the inner part of their lives. We need to give him a clear entrance into our lives, a clear entrance way into our lives. I think it was R.T. Kendall who once said that repentance means you stopped defending your sin and admit that you are guilty. And even as Christians, we can fall back into sin. Instead of tasting and seeing the goodness of God in our lives, we want to taste and see the things that are of this world, things that are of no benefit for us for eternity or for while we're here on earth below. And sometimes we need to acknowledge that God is at the centre of all that we do. We need to place him back into the centre of our lives. So friends, don't delay. Today is the day to taste and see. Today is the day to reconsecrate ourselves to him, to decide again to follow him in everything, to trust him in all circumstances and situations, and to know the sweetness of his love upon our lives. May we taste and see that the Lord is good. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will go before us this week, and that in every circumstance and situation, you will reveal your goodness and your majesty. Thank you, Lord, for your daily provision. Lord, will you go before each and every one of us this week. Guide us in your ways and your purposes. Help us to be the people that you've called us to be. And I pray that each and every one of us will have an opportunity to taste and see your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. Bless us, Lord, and bless what happens here this evening too, I pray. Be with us in the detail and in the preparation. But more than anything, Lord, will you bring people in that they may see what you are doing in this place further afield. Thank you for what you're doing, Lord. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.